Parataya Pratibodhitam Bhagavata Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Kritikam Purana Munina Madhye Mahabharatam Advaitamrita Varshinim Bhagavatim Ashtadashadhyayinim Ambatvam Anusandhatami Bhagavad Gita Bhavadvaishinim. We're on verse 25. Labhante Brahma Nirvanam. Labhante Brahma Nirvanam. Rishi Akshina Kalmashaha. Rishi Akshina Kalmashaha. Chinnadvaidhayatatmanaha Sarvabhutahiteritaha Sarvabhutahiteritaha. Labhante Brahma Nirvanam Rishiyaha Shina Kalmashaha Chinnadvaidhayatatmanaha Sarva Bhuta Hite Rataha. Labhante Brahma Nirvanam Rishiyaha. Basic sentence. The rishis, like Harihi, Harihi, plural. The rishis, Labhante, they gain Brahma Nirvanam. Nirvanam here is moksha. The moksha which is Brahman. Brahmanirvanam, the moksha which is Brahman, the fullness, the ananda, the wholeness which is Brahman. Those rishis, the rishis are the sages. It means the rishis are the ones who gain knowledge, who have knowledge, and the whole sampradaya. So the rishi really means the one who has jnanam. So the rishis, and who are the rishis? Could now give some attributes to the rishis to really show jnananishta. The ones who are kshina kalmashaha. Their kalmashas are impurities. Ragadvesha, just the ragadveshas. The ones who have neutralized their ragadveshas. Kshina means they're gone, have removed. The kalmashas, the impurities, the ragadveshas are gone. Kshina kalmashaha. So rishiyaha, kshina kalmashaha, namatatura. They are chinna and chinna dvaidha. Dvaidha means making twofold. It means doubt, division, sankalpa, sankalpa vikalpa. Is it this way or that way? So sometimes we say for doubt, we have this term sankalpa vikalpa, where you say it's this way. That's the sankalpa. The vikalpa is no, it's this way. The sankalpa vikalpa, it means that you're not clear. So here this dvaidha, making into two, that's sankalpa vikalpa. That dvaidha is chinna. It has been cut. The person whose doubts have been removed, have been severed. That means that nishta in terms of this knowledge through shravana, manana, through shravana and manana, the vision itself is clear. There aren't any doubts. What is the atma? What is the self? What is the nature of Ishvara? You know, what does it mean to have antakarana shuddhi? What does it mean if to have... What does it mean to really have knowledge? I know the self, but do I really have knowledge? Or is this self that I think that I know really the self that I'm supposed to know? All of these type of doubts that come, all of those doubts are resolved. So chinna means, chinna comes from chid, it means to cut. That's often a term that we often use in the Vedanta and the Shruti. You'll say it's chinna or beda, it's been cut, it's been severed. So here the doubts, the dvaidha, the doubts have been cut. So those for who for whom the doubts have been cut. Yatta atmanaha, the ones whose atma, atma here is the mind, yatta atma, because that atma is going to be controlled. Yatta means has been controlled, the atma, the mind, the one whose self, the raga dveshas, the nature of the mind itself is in your own hands. So when you say yatta atma, it means the self, means the upadi, the body, the mind, the sense organs, are yet that they're controlled. Controlled, a good way of understanding the word controlled or held or controlled is to think of it as being held. You are the one who holds the mind. The mind doesn't hold you. You are the one who holds the sense organs. The sense organs don't hold you. You know, they use the example of the chariot often, with the chariot, the reins and the horses. And then there's the charioteer. Swamiji sometimes will have the charioteer, he's had too much to drink. So the master who's sitting back, you know, who's the master of the chariot is sitting back, but the charioteer, the buddhi, you know, doesn't have the reins, doesn't have control of the reins of the mind. Or control of the sense organs. So the sense organs and the horses and the reins are just going wild. It's just like they've got a whiff of where home is and where all of the hay and everything is, and they've just taken off. And the buddhi, the sadhati, the charioteer is off wild ride, and the poor, the jiva sitting there as the master of the whole thing is just, you know, being taken for the wildest ride. So that's not a yata atma. The yata atmanaha, those who have the sense organs and mind in the control, in your control, that shama and dhamma are there. That's a good way to understand it. Shama is the ability to entertain a thought or to let it go. That's a tremendous freedom, that shama. The thought can come, the thought can go. That's not our experience normally. I would say like this, that shama is there for 90% or 95% of your thoughts. But that 5% is enough, you know, to make your life miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Those 5% of thoughts that you can't just dismiss. In fact, they build into a huge reaction. But think what it would be like to have the freedom to not entertain a thought. That's shama. Dhamma is the ability to say no to your impulses. Say that there's an impulse, a reaction is there, or this particular desire is there. It's caught the mind. The impulse, the reaction, the desire has caught the mind, but you have the freedom to say no. You know? And so that is that yathatmanaha, where you are the one who is handling the mind. For that yathatmanaha to really be natural, to be mature, a person has to have jnanam. In fact, that yathatmanaha becomes very natural for a person who has jnanam, who has knowledge. Because for a person who has knowledge, as one gains that nishtha, in the clarity and knowledge, the source of ananda that causes the mind and the sense organs to run wild, when that ananda is projected onto the world, is no longer projected onto the world. Right? If it's projected onto the world at all, it only has the force of a dagda bija, burnt seed, because it's so easily dismissible. it's easily dismissible, the ananda that's projected onto the world is easily dismissible because the mind itself is enjoying the ananda of the self. If the mind itself, and this is where we see this kshina kalmashaha, the raga dveshas have been neutralized, right? And so the mind doesn't have that power anymore, where I need this to be happy, I need this to be happy, I have to get rid of that to be happy. That type of raga dvesha is not there. So when the raga dvesha is not there and the ananda of myself is recognized, then the force, the vega, remember this word, this force that usually is accompanying the raga, kama and krodha, the raga dvesha, that force now isn't really there. It's a dagda bija, it's a burnt seed force. Now, because the mind is sitting in the ananda of the self, that's its home base. And when it has that as a home base, it's not feeling a lack that needs to be fulfilled by the world. And if any type of lack should come up, it's kind of a lesha. It's just like a scent or a whiff of it. It's a dagda bija whiff. Then the mind is easily pulled back. And so that person is considered, you know, a jnani, a sort of a karma sannyasi, the one who recognizes the nature of the self. Sarva karma sannyasi, which means the one who has given up, is free of all karma. The one who's free of all karma has nothing to do with the upadhi. It has nothing to do with the mind. It has nothing to do with the sense organs. It has nothing to do with the body, because the mind, the sense organs, the body, the world is never free of karma. It's always doing something or another. As long as it is here, it's doing something. So you can never be a sarva karma sannyasi in reference to the upadhi. The sarva karma sannyasi is the atma. Right? The atma, yourself, is the one who's a sarva karma sannyasi, free of all action. The mind, the one who gains knowledge, is the one who recognizes, I am the sarva karma sannyasi, recognizes the atma, which is the sarva karma sannyasi. Right? So I recognize that stability of myself. The mind is awake to the stability of my own being, the changelessness of my own being, the non-becoming of my own being. I don't become happy. I don't become sad. I am already the ananda, which is the truth of this dvaita, this duality of happiness and sadness, pleasure and pain. That's a whole continuum. I'm the ananda, which is the stability, the stable me, that illumines this continuum, this emotional continuum, which has to do with antakarana vrittis, with all of the different modes and modifications of the mind. The ananda that I am is the very source of that ananda, and that is enjoyed in the mind, the continuum of happy experiences that are enjoyed in the mind, and is also what causes so much grief when the mind is not enjoying any type of shanti, where that ananda is reflected in the mind. When the ananda is reflected in the mind, in all of these varieties, my mind feels at peace. It feels ashanti, because its behavior, its state of being is close to me. It's not inimical to me like a foreign entity. But when it's inimical, when it's feeling tense or stressed, then, because for an ajnani, what's happening is the ananda, my being, is illumining something which has no resonance with my being. And then the ahankara says, I am that. It says, I am that agitated state. And that agitated state is totally divorced from my nature. This type from my own swarupa. It's opposed to my own swarupa. It doesn't resonate with my own nature. And so that's what causes when the ahankara, when the I notion is identified with these objects as being me. It's easy to identify with the mind. There's no problem, you know, for the samsari, when the mind is resonating with my nature. All of these positive emotions. Then the ahankara, the ajnani, the ignorant ahankara says, I am this and I am this and I am this and I am this and I'm very comfortable being this way. But when the negative vrittis are generated, really because of desire, because of thwarted desire, you know, so I'm not getting something is not turning out how I want it to turn out, it's a thwarted desire, then there's agitation in the mind. I'm not comfortable with that agitation. I don't say, oh, I love, this is how I want to be, or when I'm feeling hurt or depressed, oh, this is, I'm so comfortable with myself, this is how I want. Nobody says that. The whole focus of the mind is to get out of that situation. For a jnani, it is different. Because for a jnani, that viveka between the state of mind and my own swarupa is very much there. And so if the mind is behaving in a way, having some problem, then that problem can rest and does rest in my own swarupa. There's not an identification. My being stays as is. The problem then is being held in the light of my own being. In the ananda vrittis, those ananda vrittis are also being held in the light of my own being. The I is stable. The ananda is stable. And so for the jnani, for here, the rishi means one who has knowledge. The one who has been with this knowledge, so that there's been, all of the doubts have been removed. The raga dveshas, which are really, the raga dveshas that are real for a person, those have been resolved. Those raga dveshas have been resolved. Anything that's there is a dukkha bija, burnt seed. And so for such a person, for that person, there's the, and there's one more we'll do. And for the person who, because of all of that, the resolution of the doubts and the resolution of the raga dvesha, then for that person, that yata atmanaha, that control of the mind, is very simple. You can't think that it is not simple if my ananda is really out there. I have to then be able to say, it's fine with me not to be whole. It's fine with me not to be complete. Well, it isn't fine. It's very painful, in fact. And so from that standpoint of ajnana, that yatatma does occur. A person does mature, even without knowledge, but they mature because of that recognition that dharma itself is more, brings me more joy than sense pursuit. And that joy, that dharma, and then karma yoga brings more joy than sense pursuit. More sense of wholeness. I'm still dependent on the vritti, though. But I'm recognizing that my value system, that an attachment to my value system gives a more prolonged and stable shanti than the attachment to pleasurable sensory pursuits. And so that brings about an antakarana shuddhi. Dharma brings about that. And then the karma yoga, until I gain nishtha, really recognize myself, that karma yoga, that ishvara arpana buddhi, where I take everything as prasad from the Lord, that also gives me an attitude which gives me more shanti. And so I become attached, in a sense, to dharma. And attached to that karma yoga buddhi, attached to Ishvara, because that attitude gives a deeper peace than another way of being. But all of that, and that gives a yata atmanaha, that also gives a lot more control of the mind. But there's another level. There's another level, which is the recognition of the shanti of myself through knowledge. That's when all of those doubts are removed, and the rishi is there, the jnani is there. When that jnanam is there, then the mind is no longer, I'm not dependent for my shanti on a vritti. That's what it amounts to. And that's what we have to see. It's not that we don't like to have a peaceful mind and all of that, but this is the peace, the shanti that's there present to whatever the state of mind is. That's jnana. Because it's the shanti that is the atma, the shanti that belongs to the atma, that is the atma. And that's not dependent. That doesn't require, that shanti doesn't require maintenance. It doesn't require an attitude. It doesn't require a practice. It doesn't require anything. It's my swarupa, nobody can take it away from me. If my mind is behaving in the world in a way that creates agitation, then I have to live with that agitation. I'm behaving in the world in adharmically or through some way that's causing problems in the mind, and the mind will suffer. But the Atma won't suffer. Right? So the Atma, the shanti of the Atma, the wholeness, the ananda of the Atma, is not at stake. And when I say that, sometimes we have to... There's a certain, I think, yogic conditioning that causes us not to really understand what's being said here. If the sun is illumining a storm, right, storm clouds, from the beach, somebody looking up at the sun will say, the sun is not there, but I can't experience the sun. I'm not experiencing the sun, but I know the sun is there because the storm clouds are illumined. This is more of a yogic type of a position. Sun is illuminating the storm clouds. Somebody's standing on the beach, looking up at the sun, not able to see the sun because it's blocked by the storm clouds, but realizes that the sun must be there because the sun is illuminating the storm clouds. Everybody get that? So then, if that's what you think Vedanta is, then the next problem, then the next thought will come. All right, then for me to have an experience of the sun, I must remove the storm clouds. I know the sun is there because it's illuminating the sun the storm clouds, but if I really want to know what the sun is like, I have to remove the storm clouds. And then the sun in all of its luster will shine, right? The problem with this illustration is this. Who am I in the illustration? Who am I? Am I the person on the beach or am I the sun? Where is the self experience? Where does in this illustration, where does the self experience exist? It's the sun. So the sun, the self experience, the aparoksha self experience is the sun. The me experience, the I, my own being is the sun. The sun is illumining the storm clouds, right? And whether or not the storm clouds are there is totally irrelevant to the swarupa, the self-experience of the sun. So when you say, I am, the conscious me, my own presence, my own being, that being is the sun. It doesn't alter in any way if the storm clouds are there or not there. The thing is, the only thing we could say is, well, if the storm clouds are there, if the storm clouds mean like a painful mind, I would rather not be in pain. From the standpoint of the mind, it would be the mind doesn't really enjoy being in pain. The body doesn't enjoy being in pain, and so we would work to relieve the mind of its pain through bringing in proper attitude or doing whatever is necessary to remove the storm cloud, right? That makes perfect sense. No problem with that. And that's reasonable. That's how it is. That's why we do all of this antakarana shuddhi, why we have this sadhana, why we meditate, why we do pranayama, all of these type of things is to help the mind gain shanti. Right? Proper attitude and this knowledge itself helps the mind gain shanti. But in the experience, in this inner experience of myself sitting here as a being, I am here, the mind is here, the world is here, right? But here's the Atma, is like the sun. The mind is like the storm cloud or the absence of the storm cloud. And then the world that I'm experiencing is like the beach, for instance, or like the world that's being perceived. So now the thing is, here's the storm cloud of the mind. I am illumining that. Where does the sense of I abide here? Here's the storm cloud of the mind. I illumine the mind. Consciousness illumines the mind. Is the mind giving the sense of I? Right? Or is consciousness giving the sense of I, the me? The I is the conscious being. The conscious being me illumines the storm cloud. And it illumines the space when the storm cloud is not there. Whatever vritti is there, whatever emotion is there, whatever feeling is there, I am there as the very conscious being shedding its light, its consciousness, on that. I'm the luminary. I'm the conscious being that allows this thing to be known. And when this thing, the storm cloud, passes, then the same conscious me is there with the same self-experience without a ripple. And the conscious me, the Atma, you know, has now the mind, for jnanam to take place. What does it mean? It means that I have to recognize me. The mind has to recognize, oh, this is the mind, I'm the mind, and the me doesn't belong to the mind. Right? It's more like this, let's do the satya mitya We'd say like this. The mind has to be able to say, the me, the conscious being that I fully enjoy, that is fully myself, right? Because I, the conscious being, is not away from the mind. So the mind has to say, the conscious being that I enjoy, which is me, is free of me. The mind has to say, the conscious being, which is me, which is my very self, is totally free of me. What does that mean? That must be Lola. Is it Lola or is it?
Tippy.
Oh.
Oh,
Tippy Jr.
Oh my gosh, it's friendly now.
Yeah, she's making her appearance.
she got lonely.
So let's go on with this.
Yeah.
So,
oh, it's just plain.
So the mind, this is the satyam mithya. To understand this, it's a clay pot. It's so critical to understand this because the conscious being, the mind says, I am the self. It's not lying. That's the truth. The mind says, I am the self. But it has to be able to say, and the self is free of me. It's like a thought says, a vritti says, you know, I am the self, but then the self is free of me, the vritti. That's the recognition. So that's why you can sit and watch thought after thought after thought. It's a good sadhana, just a meditation, just to watch thought after thought after thought. So you recognize that the self of the thought never wavers. And that is true also. If we go extend it, and this is what you need to do, actually. You need to extend that. Not just to your sitting with your eyes closed watching thought after thought after thought, but see the satya mitya in reference to, like, this room, right? Everything is moving, all of the movement that's taking place on this room is also a vritti. It's also totally pervaded by consciousness. So this room enjoys me. It enjoys my being. It enjoys my consciousness. It is known, it is, it has been, and it is known. The being, which is me, never changes. So this room is me, but I am not it. This vritti is me, but I am not it. That's the satyamitya. Another thing is, this is a fact of your experience. It's not away from your experience. And so this experience, subject-object, the satyam-mitya, the conscious being, and the nama-rupas, name and forms, is a differentiation I have to grasp. I have to see it. It's here as the reality. It's just something that needs to be seen. And so the rishi is the one who has seen that, and the one who has seen that with all of these kalmashas, the impurities being neutralized, and all of the doubts have been cleared away, the mind is under a person's control. And then one more thing. Sarvabhuta hitte rataha. That person, those rishis, they just revel. They just revel in sarvabhuta hitte, doing what is good for all beings. Because that's what is natural to being a human being. The only time you're not doing that is when you're upset about something. What, that's your own swarupa. You know, that the swarupa is blocked. What is natural to you is blocked by raga dvesha. It gets in the way. And your projection of your likes and dislikes onto the world, and then you have needs, and you need it to be this way and that way and that way, and then you get involved in the samsara, and all kinds of things happen. It all boils down to that. When those raga dveshas are not active, when they're not active, you are already full and complete. You try to be mean when you're full and complete. When you yourself are feeling whole and happy, that's what your expression is coming from that. Like when you're feeling whole and complete, even as a samsari, you're feeling whole and complete, your expression comes from that. And so what does that look like from the outside? So the person, they're just kind to people. They're kind to people because that's your nature. The only time you're not kind to people is when something's obstructing it. So what do they do? What does a rishi or a jnani who's mature in their knowledge do? Well, whatever they do, it's kind. Because it's not going, there's nothing inside going against that swarupa. That's all it is. It's very simple. Otherwise it gets weird. Because then you think about like a jnani is some sort of a do-gooder. You're going around being kind to people all of the time. They're not going around being kind to people all the time. They're going around being themselves. And themselves is kind. Kind because there's nothing obstructing it. Right? And so that nature, which is your nature, is something that you experience as true to yourself when nothing's obstructing you. When it's not being obstructed. That's how you are. And so when the obstructions which are caused by ajnanam, you know, when they're caused by ignorance, that self-ignorance, when that ignorance is removed and your mind is enjoying the fruits of that knowledge, then that's natural for you to be that way. Let's do the next verse. Kama krodha viyuktanam. Kama krodha viyuktanam. Yatinam yata chetasam. Yatinam yata chetasam. Abhito brahma nirvanam. Abhito brahma nirvanam. Vartate viritatmanam. Vartate viritatmanam. Kama krodha viyuktanam. Yatinam yata chetasam. Abhitaha brahma nirvanam paratate virita atmanam. There's four, this kind of repeating here. Kama krodha viyuktanam. For those who are free, viyukta, dissociated from kama and krodha. This is a raga dvesha. Kama is desire, krodha is anger. Kama, I need this to be happy. I need to not have this to be happy. That's the kama. Krodha is when the kama is thwarted, right? So krodha, anger, comes off of the kama. So for the people who are not subject to kama and krodha, the yetis, those who are yetis, yetis means the sannyasis. The sannyasis and the karma yogis both are considered yetis, the mumukshus, who are practicing karma yoga, practicing taking sannyasa. Those are the yetis, the ones who are having control of their life for the sake of gaining moksha. So often means just sannyasi, but Shankara and Swamiji take it to be sannyasi and karma yogi, because both the sannyasi and the karma yogi, in terms of lifestyle, are intent on moksha, both are gaining jnanam, both are exposed to this teaching, right? And both their commitment is to jnanam. And so for these yetis who have given up kama krodha, yeta chetasam, whose mind is under control. And so here when they say, so Swamiji takes this yeta chetasam, because the yetinam can be the mumukshu, the one who is living a life of karma yoga, a life of sannyasa. But yeta chetasam means their mind is in their own hands. This he takes means the person has jnanam, sarvakarma sannyasi. Because if the mind is in your own hands, then there's no projection of ananda. Your mind can't really be fully in your own hands if there's a jnanam there. So yeta chetasam, that's how he takes it. And in the light of this whole of this verse, because, again, at the last word is viditatmanam, for those who have self-knowledge, right? So they have self-knowledge, they are living a life of karma yoga or sannyasa, they have given up, they no longer are held by kama or krodha, by desire or by anger, and their mind is held in their own hands. Then abhitaha, either here, abhitaha means here and hereafter. Here in this life itself, and hereafter, after the drop of the body, abhitaha. Brahma nirvanam vartate. That that person has from Nirvana. For that person there is moksha. There is the Nirvana, the fullness, the ananda, the completeness that is Brahman. Brahman Nirvana is a word for moksha. Okay? So let's do the next. Sparshan kritva bahir bahyan. Sparshan kritva bahir bahyan. Chakshus chayvantare bhivoho. Chakshus chayvantare bhivoho. Pana panao samal kritva. Pana panao samal kritva. Nasa bhyantara charino. Nasa bhyantara charino. Do you have yours? I have these two together. Do you all have your two together?
Sunday?
We'll do these two verses together and then we'll do the Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Yatendriya mano buddhihi. Yatendriya mano buddhihi. Munir moksha parayanaha. Munir moksha parayanaha. Vigate cha payat krodaha. Vigate cha payat krodaha. Yasada mukta evasaha.
Yes,
sada mukta eva saha. Sparshan kritva bahir bahyan chakshuhu cha eva antare bruvaha. Prana panao samal kritva nasa abhyantara charinao. Yata indriya mano buddhihi munera moksha parayanaha vigata iccha bhaya krodhaha yaha sataha muktaha eva saha. This is what I was doing with the meditation. Sparshan kritva bahihi bahyan. Kritva, having made the sparsha, the sense objects, bahyan, which are outside, the external objects, which are outside, bahyan means outside, making the sense objects which are outside, outside, bahihi means outside, so putting the sense objects which are outside, making them outside, okay? Then, so keeping all of the objects that are already outside, outside. I mean, I like that. That's why Swamiji, actually, you should read his thing on this. It's really nice, you know, what he has to say about this. Keeping these things that are already outside, outside. Then, and putting the eyes in between the eyebrows. That just means closing the eyes, and sometimes the focus will be, you can see how your eyes, when you close your eyes, don't try to make this a big thing where you look cross-eyed in between. Some people think that you close your eyes and then make them cross so that they'll go here. But actually, when you rest your eyes, they just kind of naturally will go that way. So it just means closing your eyes, resting your eyes, and letting the eyes pull inward. So you don't have to cross your eyes. So the eyes, chakshuhu, antare bruvoho means the eyebrows. Antare means in the middle of the eyebrows. So putting your eyes, closing your eyes, letting them focus in the middle of your eyebrows. Then, third eye is the idea. It's right in this place right here.
Yeah.
Prana apanao samal kritva. Having made the prana and the apana, the outgoing and the ingoing breath. So prana and apana is the dual, right? Samal, in accusative duals. Kritva, indeclinable past participle. Having made the prana and the apana, the ingoing, the outgoing, and ingoing breath, samaha, samal, dual, the same, means balanced. Like in to account of four. Sometimes we do this as part of meditation. Breathing into a count of four, out to a count of four, into a count of four, out to the count of four. Or you can even go into at the count of four, hold for a count of four, into the count of four, hold for a count of four. So that kind of rhythm. Right? So balancing the prana. The prana which are here, nasa abhyantara charino. That's the prana and the apana which are moving in the nose, inside of the nose. That's where you'll feel the ingoing and outgoing breath. So regulate that prana and apana as you feel it going in and out of the nasa. Nasa means the nose. So he's just giving some very basic advice on how to contemplate, because actually we're going into chapter 6, which deals in depth with contemplation.
Okay.
So in this very end of chapter 5, he's just giving this little, kind of initiatory verse. And then it continues on. So contemplating, doing this, what that does is brings the mind back to yourself. All you're doing, you're bringing the mind back to yourself. Then what? Yata indriya manaha buddhihi. The one whose indriya, sense organs, mind, and buddhi are yataha, in your hands, are controlled, are being held. For that one, the buddhi, the one whose buddhi, manas, indriya are held in the hand, munihi. Munihi is, again, another word for an ascetic or a sage. The muni is the one who's done shravana and manana. The muni is the one who has knowledge. Then shravana and manana. That muni. For whom moksha parayanaha. For that person, the one who is the muni, who's done the shravana and manana, whose mind and sense organs and buddhi are under their control, and for whom moksha is parayana, is the end. In other words, what are you living for? What is the purpose of your life? What is the end for you? Is moksha. Moksha parayanaha. Then, for that person, and then, vigata iccha bhaya krodha. That person for whom anger, iccha, desire, anger, and bhaya, fear, are vigata, are gone. This is they bring in now, he's done a lot recently with this iccha and krodha, raga, dvesha, kama. Iccha is desire, like kama. So kama, krodha. Right? So kama and krodha. Now bhaya, fear. Because fear, when Swamiji's talking in his commentary here, he's talking, he goes into just a little couple of paragraphs on the jnani. Is the one who, when they take sannyasa, what is the most important is that vow of ahimsa, right? Non-injury. And then in that, taking that vow of non-injury, there's a sankalpa that goes, let me not be afraid of any being, and let no being be afraid of me. That is the primary vow of sannyasa. Yeah. And this ahimsa, non-injury, and it's a vow. What becomes naturally as you mature, just because of your own swarupa, as the mind is enjoying your own swarupa, then you become your behavior is a natural expression of that. But until that becomes your natural expression, you're doing. When it's not your natural expression, then that is your sadhana. That's your value. That's what you value. Okay? And one of the highest values, and I think Swamiji is a living embodiment of this. This is who he is this ahimsa, non-injury, a commitment, even though this doesn't mean people don't get hurt. I'm from his vantage point, a commitment and highest value to ahimsa. Even in terms of, because I've learned this from him, from talking to him and, you know, failing at this, you know, and then to working on myself around this. Even in on a level of thought, non-injury, even on the level of thought, like how do you hold another person, or the actions of another person, or the behavior of another person, to what degree do you give them the benefit of the doubt know, in terms of whatever their motivation is. Do you give them the benefit of the doubt? You know, see that person, their motivation or what they're doing in the most positive light, the most positive intent. I've seen him do it I've seen him do this on so many levels, and I continue to learn from it. I think it's the most kind. It is the most sacred thing, you know. And I've seen all these years. It's probably my highest value. And when I'm not living up to it, it's my highest. It's my most. I don't know what to say. It's my most valued sadhana. It's my most valued reality and my most valued sadhana. And I think that that's true because I've experienced it firsthand from Swamiji. I've experienced it personally. You know, where even when I was in some way or another could be seen as screwing up in some way or another, he would always see the best side of me, you know? And you know, that this is the thing. That best side of you is also the truth. It's also the truth. But he will highlight it. And he's not kidding. He sees that best motivation. He sees the best intent. You know, and I've seen him do it over and over and over again in reference to me personally, and I've seen it do it in reference to how he's dealing with others. Mm-hmm. You know? And I realized all of these years, I mean, what's it been, like 40 years now, that when I kind of look back at the kind of high points, like say you have a memory 40 years worth of experience, what are the things that you remember? You know, and for me, I remember these acts of kindness. Those are what stand out, you know. Acts of kindness toward me and toward others. They stand out. You know, that's because that's Brahman, really. It's the truth. And I think that's why for Swamiji also, he holds that as his highest value. He talks about it, you know. And that is sannyasa also. Sannyasa, that's the highest value, is ahimsa. But there's no end to that ahimsa. That ahimsa resolves in the atma. So here, when they say this for the jnani, and this is what Swamiji talks about in this, that abhayam, so icha, the one for whom the icha has gone, I don't need anything to be happy. Krodha is gone because I don't need anything to be happy. Nobody can take it away from me. So there's a discipline also. And the world can be annoying, so it's, you know. So it requires always bringing your mind back to yourself, you know. But then, to be free of the bhaya. Bhaya, well, how he talks about it is free of competition. No competition, you know. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing also. Mm-hmm. To not put yourself as a sannyasi. And we're not sannyasis, so we're not sannyasis in terms of the lifestyle that we've chosen. So you can be in a competitive environment. But if you're in a competitive environment, then there's a winner and a loser. And you don't have this this abhayam where you're just trying to help. You can, but the situation is not as conducive. Whereas in sannyasa, the situation is conducive to that abhayam. In any case, that abhayam is something that fear. Abhayam means free from fear. Free from fear is not the design free from fear. It's that others are free of fear from me. You know, I like that. It's a big thing to attain to. In fact, many years ago, Swamiji told me something. I've told you all of this. I don't know if you remember it. I haven't told it for a long time. That when he had been a sannyasi for some time, And one of his devotees called him at 3 in the morning. You know, and so, of course, the phone woke him up. And the devotee was really upset about something and just needed to talk to Swamiji. So called him, you know, 2, 3 in the morning. And so Swamiji answered the phone, yes. You know, woke him up, answered the phone. They had a conversation, though. And then when Swamiji hung up the phone, he felt so happy inside, because he realized that that person was not afraid to call him at 3 in the morning. Really. That's trust, you know, to know that you can call. That's so much trust is in that. It's really beautiful. And, you know, when Swamiji told me that, you know, I really thought, that's right. That's true. And then he was kind of enjoyed himself. Well, thinking that way, anyway, it was nice.
Yeah.
So they say, so this person, Iyata Indriya Mano Buddhihi Munihi Moksha Parayanaha Vigata Icha Bhaya Krodaha Buddha that's gone. Yaha, one who's like this, Sada Mukta Eva Saha. That person always is Muktaha, from Sada. That Mukti is, liberation is complete. There's no going back for that person. No going back anyway. Once you know, you know. You know. Once you know, you know. But then we're talking about a mind that is really mature in that knowledge. You know, the mind is owning that knowledge. You know, so resting in that knowledge. And so for such a person, that person has jnana nishtha. All right, we'll have to finish this next week.
Myself.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om